This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick. We'll have updates from Tyler Donaldson and Melissa Hammer as well. Warm and dry conditions are in the forecast for much of this week. Highs in the 60s and 70s expected today, with a gradual warm-up happening through Thursday. On Friday, cooler weather will be returning. The winds are going to be light today after reaching some unbelievable levels this weekend. The fires continue to burn in western North Dakota. The State Emergency Operations Center reports three fires that have not been fully contained. As of Sunday afternoon, the Elkhorn Fire near Grassy Butte was 12 miles long, 5 miles wide. The Bear Den Fire near Mandaree covers 25,000 acres. And the two fires merged into one in Williams County, which includes Ray, Alamo, and Tioga, North Dakota areas. The firefighting certainly challenged by strong winds and dry conditions. Many areas had wind gusts topping 75 miles per hour. Those winds have thankfully died down, but the work continues. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum will survey the damage and the ongoing response efforts today. Farmers and ranchers who are missing livestock due to wildfires in western North Dakota are asked to contact the North Dakota Stockmen's Association. In addition to the land charred by fire, many fences were cut to fight the fire. The Stockmen's Association is working with the North Dakota Department of Agriculture and NDSU Extension to develop a list of resources for affected farmers and ranchers. The Longshoremen's Association strike came to an end late last week after a temporary agreement was reached with the U.S. Maritime Alliance. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more background.
The Longshoremen Association's strike ended up lasting only 3 days before reaching an agreement with the U.S. Maritime Alliance. The agreement, which runs into mid-January, allows time for further negotiations without impeding the transportation business. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom is happy that the stoppage is over.
We see this as very good news, getting people back to work, starting cargo moving again out of the Gulf and East Coast is essential to our business. So from that standpoint, you know, we're very excited about these developments in the last few hours. I think the importance of this is that, you know, we have a reputation globally as being a very reliable supplier to our customers all over the world. So in that regard, getting people back to work at these ports and getting cargo moving again is essential, and being able to continue to supply our customers, especially for some of our smaller exporters, our smaller members. It's a difficult situation for everyone involved, but especially for some of the smaller companies. So I think in this regard, getting business back on track is this is really good news as we go forward.
With more than $100 million of U.S. pork and beef shipped through the affected ports each week, Hallstrom is very thankful for all the work that went into negotiations in preventing a long-term stoppage.
I'd like to thank the International Longshoremen Association and the United States Maritime Alliance. Our goal all along was to getting people back to work, and the fact that they have agreed to go back to the bargaining table and continue work in the meantime, we see that as a real positive. And also thank you to our government officials that have been involved in this whole process and who have been pushing both sides to get back to the table as well. So in that regard, this is a real positive as we move forward into the last quarter of 2024.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
South American weather will be closely watched over the upcoming weeks. Progressive Ag Marketing market analyst Brian Strumman expects weather to be a major market driver.
They'll certainly be looking at the Brazil weather in the Sunday night forecast. And, you know, we've seen a lot of support in the soybeans because of the dry conditions in Brazil. So that's going to be watched. And I think the southern plains as well. You look at winter wheat planting, and we're in October now, and it remains dry there, and nothing really in the forecast. So I think weather is going to be the big thing here.
Traders will also be paying attention to this afternoon's crop progress report.
I would think those numbers are going to be fairly large, and a lot of guys will be wrapping soybeans up here in the near term, and then I think moving right into corn with all the wind and heat that we've had here recently. I think everything's drying down maybe a little faster than what, everybody's been expecting.
Brian Stroman from Progressive Ag Marketing. Center South and Center West Brazil and Argentina were both hot and dry over the weekend, with highs reaching the triple digits. Argentina is expected to receive scattered rain to start this week. Sporadic rains are forecast late in this week for Brazil, more significant rainfall happening next week. In the week ending October 1st, the funds cut their short position in the corn market in half. That short covering was the largest for any week in nearly 5 months. Money managers dropped their net short position by nearly 35,000 contracts, down more than 40,000 on the week. And for wheat, the technical trade brought the net short side of the market to a two-year low. Fed cattle carcass weights have been increasing rapidly in recent years. Independent consultant Neville Spear says the cattle industry had phenomenal beef production this past year.
Just the recent report yesterday, carcass weights are 900, steer carcass weights, 948 pounds. We continue to create tonnage, and yet we're still getting pretty good prices. It's a trend that's been in place for, 40 years, right? We've added weight every single year. It's really kind of a testament to where we are in terms of making the genetics more efficient, more productive. This year's jump is huge.
Spear says the increase is large enough to create more beef on this record low inventory level.
And as on a headcount basis, we're probably, we're down pretty sharply. But on a tonnage basis is what's coming out the back end. We're even ahead of last year in some month-over-month comparison. So it's really pretty amazing. This industry is always incredible at how we can respond and be productive. And isn't that the story of agriculture everywhere, right? I mean, it's whether we talk about, beef cattle, or we talk about hogs or dairy or corn and soybeans. I mean, we're really good at creating problems for ourselves because of how good we are at production.
The U.S. Appeals Court in San Francisco rejected a lawsuit that sought significant changes to the rules governing concentrated animal feeding operations. The activist group called Food and Water Watch wanted to change the burden of proof for potential violations of the Clean Water Act. The National Pork Producers Council said the activist groups want to rewrite federal law through the courts and ultimately put pork producers out of business. The city of Denver will have a vote on its ballot that would ban the operation of slaughterhouses within city limits. Livestock Marketing Information Center Director Tyler Cousins expects this to have an impact on the lamb industry.
It would affect specifically a lamb slaughter plant in the Denver city limits. And more or less, if this were to pass, that slaughter plant would have to move out of Denver city limits and relocate somewhere else, or just shut down altogether. And so kind of looking at this little bit bigger picture, it's one of the larger lamb slaughter plants in the region and in the U.S., so it would impact just overall slaughter capacity for the lamb industry. And so, that would mean that producers would have to start looking for other avenues to market their lambs.
There's also an impact on the livestock industry as a whole.
So there would be some impacts there in the short term for sure, as far as where these lambs are going to go to get processed, and overall from an industry perspective, just that lower capacity would impact just the processing of these lambs, because we have a perishable commodity with these lambs, and so they need to be slaughtered in a timely manner. And so definitely an issue that has to be watched here in come November. Because you could speak about these things from just the lamb side of things, but I think the implications to the livestock sector as a whole, depending which way this measure goes, could have potential ramifications and ripple effects through just the livestock sector as a whole.
The scheduled maintenance shutdown of an ADM soybean crush facility in Iowa not seen as a surprise. U.S. Commodities President Don Rose said it was a scheduled maintenance situation.
Exactly. I mean, I think they planned it. They knew what they were doing, a little bit dysfunctional at harvest time, but also the best time to be down if the margins aren't as good. And they kept running on big margins during the summer.
This is National 4-H Week. The Red River Farm Network coverage of National 4-H Week made possible by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Associated Milk Producers Incorporated, and its Dinner Bell Creamery. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer filed this report.
Nearly 6 million kids and teens are involved in 4-H across the country, and even more, University Extension State 4-H Activities Coordinator Carla Mickle says 4-H gives kids more potential to end up in a leadership role.
You know, they might go and experience what a county commissioner's meeting is like or a fair board meeting. They might advocate to do something in their community as far as service learning, you know, perhaps growing a garden to give food back to their local communities. I know that there's quite a few clubs out there that are helping their local fair boards raise funds for different things within their fairgrounds to help highlight 4-H at their local fairgrounds. And so it's just a really great time for us to recognize the importance that 4-H plays, not only in our local communities, but in our state and as a nation as well.
Mickle says there are many different ways that youth members have opportunities to be engaged in their communities and build leadership skills.
One thing about youth that are in 4-H is that when they participate in the 4-H programs, they're 3 times more likely to participate in community service. They're 2 times more likely to report living life with intentionality and purpose. And they're also 2 times more likely to have the goal of being a good leader. There's a lot of leaders out there that have a background within 4-H. And it's neat to see our local kids being able to become better leaders that perhaps maybe someday they'll serve as governor or a legislator or be a CEO of a company. So they're gaining real valuable leadership skills to prepare them for the future.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network.
In a letter to congressional leadership, President Joe Biden said the FEMA Disaster Relief Fund has the resources it needs to meet immediate needs, but a shortfall is expected before the end of the year. Without additional funding, Biden said FEMA will need to sacrifice longer-term recovery efforts to meet their immediate needs. In particular, Biden cited the impact on farmers for crop losses. Checking markets, we're down 4.25 cents for Minneapolis wheat. That's the December contract at 6:34 1/4. The March contract down 4 cents. Chicago wheat for December, just a half penny lower. And the hard red winter wheat, same contract, down 2.5. New crop corn down 1.75 at 4.23. March down 2 cents. Soybeans for November down 5.5 at 10.32 1/4. January soybeans 5.5 lower. As we check in on the farm calendar, NDFB Foundation, North Dakota Farm Bureau Foundation, has their first annual Harvest to Harmony Gala. This event will be taking place, a fundraiser, October 18th in Fargo. Also on the calendar, South Dakota Farmers Union has its state convention in the works. It'll be held November 11th through the 12th. And the SDSU Swine Day is coming up November 12th as well. That'll be held in Brookings. Have yourself a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.